98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show. We start with the Coyotes making a trade today, acquiring defenseman Shane Gostisbehere, a 2022 second-round draft choice and a 2022 seventh-round choice from the Philadelphia Flyers. Here's Coyotes GM Bill Armstrong.
It's a really exciting player for us. And we've been in touch with Philly probably since the beginning of the year about him and just some thought process we might have a chance to acquire him. For me, he's somebody that can really run a power play from up top. He's got a great shot. He just finds ways to get it through. Just his first pass coming out of the zone, he gives us something we don't have, and that's a really good puck mover back there on the backside, and that's one of his strengths.
I'm almost sure I butchered his name.
Gostisbehere.
Gostisbehere.
Yep. 28 years old. He was second in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2015-16. He's had a knee injury. He's kind of been up and down. He's not a very good defensive player, but he can run a power play. The key thing for the Coyotes is they're taking 2 years on of his salary. 2 years of his salary. They get another second-round pick. They're loading up on second-round picks. Still hard for second-round picks to be impact players in an NHL, but you're getting a lot of second-round picks here. You're taking on salary. You're getting picks. The Coyotes added. They gave up nothing to get him and a second and a seventh-round pick.
According to reports and some reporting by Gambo as well, the Coyotes and the city of Tempe are discussing a new arena possibility for the Yotes on the banks of the Dry Salt River just west of Tempe Town Lake. The project would also include an entertainment and commercial center, and the project itself would be privately funded.
Yeah, 48 acres, privately funded, in the entertainment destination. And the most important thing is privately funded. The city wouldn't be on the hook for anything. They'd issue a special district for some bonds and things like that. But listen, they're committed. Alex Morello bought a home here. His family's buying homes here. They are committed to keeping this team here in Arizona.
Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports is reporting it has become the expectation that Texas and Oklahoma will join the SEC, but many believe there will still be some significant pushback. Here's Chip Brown, the Texas reporter for 24/7 Sports.
The state legislature in Texas is full of Texas Tech and Baylor lawmakers who have influence, and they'll work actively to try to change minds here. And this thing could go in 100 different directions.
Thamel added in a tweet, multiple sources have indicated that Oklahoma and Texas are not expected to take part in the Big 12 conference call this evening. It's a call to discuss the future and contingencies. And neither one of those teams will be on that call among the Big 12 power brokers tonight.
Wow.
Interesting.
The Big 12, man. Are they a cat? Do they have nine lives? 9 years ago, the Pac-12 almost raided them and put them out of business. They survived, and now here they are again with Texas and Oklahoma. It's all money. The SEC offers a lot more money than the Big 12 does.
Sure does. And then finally, quickly, Willie Green, the Suns' assistant coach, Damani Williams, officially named today as the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, it's a big loss for the Suns. He did a fantastic job, but he got rewarded for the work that he's done as an assistant coach in this league. And Dave Griffin, with Suns contacts, hires him to replace Stan Van Gundy, who flamed out after just 1 year.
Yep, but our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show was a memo that was sent by the NFL to its 32 teams. And the NFL informed its teams that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit the game and be credited with a loss for playoff seedings. But there's more. The biggest penalty for the players, quote, if a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled within the current 18-week schedule due to a COVID outbreak, neither team's players will get their weekly paragraph 5 salary. Nobody gets paid. DeAndre Hopkins took to Twitter in a since-deleted tweet. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. The tweet has since been deleted. He then followed up with a tweet. This is about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. By the way, I got about 9 more years in me. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's not retiring. Oh, listen, he has the right to not get the vaccine, and I respect that right. I 100% respect the right of people to say, I don't want to get the vaccine. And this is coming from a person who I did get the vaccine. I'll admit it. I have family members that won't get it. I have family members that did get it. I respect everyone's right to make their own decision. If you don't want to get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. I have no issues with you. I have no problems with you. The question I have is, okay, the NFL's doing this. They're basically going to punish teams and players if guys get COVID. But what about the guys? Okay, Chris Paul got COVID. He was vaccinated.
Sure.
Jay Williams just got COVID. He was vaccinated. There's a lot of people, a lot, okay, that get the vaccine and still get COVID. Now, the vaccine prevents you from hospitalization and maybe death and everything. I get it, right? I understand sure, all of sure. that. I've learned enough about it. But you could still get COVID. So what happens if a bunch of vaccinated players end up getting COVID and you can't play the game? Well, that goes against what you're trying to do, I would think.
It does, except for that line that I had mentioned to you earlier about how if it was a COVID outbreak among vaccinated players, that the NFL might be more willing to work with
right, but nothing
with those
definitive.
Teams.
Nothing definitive. Nothing definitive
no.
right now
no,
on that.
I mean, I just go back to what you just said a second ago. Everybody's got a choice. DeAndre Hopkins has a choice. Other players on the Cardinals have a choice. The NFL has a choice, and this is what they've chosen. And for the record, the Players Association seems to be on the same page as the league here. Here's Jeff Darlington from ESPN.
Well, to me, one of the more interesting elements of it is the fact that the NFL Players Association has come forward and sent a memo to its contingency, its players, and said that really showed no animosity toward the NFL for this, basically saying these are similar rules to what were in play last year that were collectively bargained, and basically that's the way it's going to be. I don't sense much in terms of like the NFLPA planning to put on some kind of fight to defend players that are choosing to not get vaccinated.
So DeAndre Hopkins has a choice, and he can choose to do whatever he wants to do. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't dispute his right to do that. The NFL has a choice. The Pac-12 has a choice. There is a report out there today that the Pac-12 is thinking about doing exactly the same thing, that the new commissioner of the Pac-12 is going to say, if you can't play a game because you've got a COVID outbreak among your unvaccinated players, you're going to forfeit that game. It's going to be a loss. I saw a tweet from Chris Mannix, longtime NBA writer for Sports Illustrated.
This is interesting.
He said, this is interesting timing because the NBA is considering their possibilities for forming their own COVID policy as well. I suspect
other sports are going to join in.
That in this era of people having a choice to get vaccinated, these leagues are going to say, look, we can't make you do anything. We're just going to tell you that obviously we want you to do it. We encourage you to do it. And now that the vaccine is available for everybody to get done, this is the choice we're making as a league. You do whatever you want, but this is our choice as a league, and this is what we're going
to
do.
I think they're basically in some ways trying to force people that don't want to get the vaccine to get it. Because, listen, if you don't want to get it, it's your decision, and I'm so cool with that. Like, do what you want to do. If you want to get it, get it. If you don't. But what they're basically saying is to a guy is like, look, you don't want to get it, fine. But if you get it, you're going to get punished. Your teammates are going to hate you. The other team is going to hate you. You got to get like that's what you're doing. You're putting these people in a position to where you could really be public enemy number one if you get it and cause the cancellation, and you and other players cause the cancellation of a game. That's a tough spot to put, tough predicament to put people in.
It is, but it doesn't seem to be one that the majority of the NFL players are bothered by, as per what Darlington said a second ago
Hopkins
about the NFL.
Hopkins seemed bothered by it,
but it doesn't seem like the NFL. I'm sure he's not, but it also seems like the majority of the NFLPA probably feels like the league does. They get vaccinated. So it will continue, and we'll see. And obviously, DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to retire. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Phoenix Suns had their chances to win their first ever NBA title. But after coming up just short against the Bucks, some think it's just going to get even tougher for the Suns. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo show. Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Still kind of cleaning up after the end of the Phoenix Suns season. You remember the Go Suns billboard that was up in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix-based law firm put up a Go Suns billboard in
they
Milwaukee.
Throw tomatoes at it.
Actually, it started a little back and forth between the two teams, and not the teams themselves, but fans of the team. So the Ghost Suns billboard shows up in Milwaukee.
I'd be pissed.
And then in Phoenix, there's a billboard that's up now that reads, two great cities, two great teams, respect to the Suns and their fans. Signed, Milwaukee Bucks fans.
What?
That billboard is now up here in Arizona.
What?
and then the billboard that initially in Milwaukee said Go Suns now reads, congrats to our own Milwaukee Bucks, hashtag Bucks in six.
Isn't there one a little bit further up that says something about respect the Bucks?
No, the original, Gambo's right, the original one that said Go Suns that was in Milwaukee, it now has been changed to say congrats Bucks, respect. Oh. And it has that same desert valley motif.
Why do we got to be so nice? Like, seriously. Hi, you beat our asses. Congratulations. Screw them. Like, come on. Like, I know it's not a team you want to hate or anything, but let's not have a love kiss fest with Milwaukee now. They beat us. They beat us. Like, let's get a rivalry going. Let's play them again in the finals. I don't want to be, oh, it's so great that you beat us and everything. Imani goes into the room to congratulate him. We got billboards up congratulating him. For what? Why do you got to be so nice?
You are nothing if not consistent. I would never count on you to be nice.
Like,
about
no, like, what? I got to be all nice to them and everything.
Yeah, well,
like, you know, if Milwaukee Sports Radio had me on, I wouldn't be like, oh, congratulations to your team. They played so well. Oh, you got, screw them. Like, screw them.
Maybe that's why
they
you're not on
you.
Milwaukee Radio.
Yeah, I was during the series.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. Screw all of you for beating us. I really hate all of you. I hate your city. I hate your team. Thanks for having me on, but screw all of you.
Yeah, when did sports become let's all be nice to everybody after they beat your ass? They won. They took the championship away from you.
Hold on. Didn't you
gotta be nice to them?
Didn't you just get done finishing and loving Ted Lasso? I mean, that's a really nice, heartwarming show. Did you not learn anything from Ted Lasso?
Yeah, he lost the last freaking game.
I know, and look how nice he was about it. Look how happy he was about it.
I mean, I should have realized that there was still time left on the clock.
You loved that show. You really enjoyed Ted Lasso.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I mean, you're telling me we should hate, and you just got done loving Ted Lasso, where it's all about love. Which is it, Gambo?
That's fiction. It's a fake thing. There is no Ted Lasso. He doesn't exist. There is no Ted Lasso. A guy like that would never survive as a coach anywhere.
Obviously, the message of Ted Lasso went right over your head, so I won't even try to explain that one to you. But that's what's going on with the Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks fans going back and forth with that. In the meantime, a lot of talk about the Western Conference and people debating just how tough this is going to be for the Suns moving forward. Anthony Davis got hurt. He'll be back. Jamal Murray got hurt. At some point, he'll be back. Kawhi Leonard got hurt. At some point, he'll be back. But with those last two especially, we don't know when they're going to be back. So we don't know how much tougher the West is going to be next year because we don't know when those guys are going to play.
Yeah, listen, I don't know that I agree with this. And I think it's a fantastic conversation. I really do. I'll go on to say I think that this is one of the best conversations you could have, because I think people have different opinions. You know, the West is only going to get tougher. Is it? Is it only going to get tougher? Let's look at the age of some key players in the West. Okay, let's start with LeBron James. Okay, LeBron James, he's 36 years old. He'll be 37 in December. I'm not really worried about, you know, him so much.
Even though Chris Paul's the same age?
I think that they rely on LeBron a lot more than the Suns rely on Chris. But, I mean, yeah, no, I think that LeBron's age is a major factor.
Okay, it's just a two-way street with the age thing because the Suns have the same age as LeBron James. But go ahead.
I get it. I think that you start to look at the age. You know, Paul George is going to be, you know, Paul George is 31. Let's look at Damian Lillard. I think Damian's like, how old is Damian Lillard? He's like 32, isn't he?
32, I think, yeah.
So Damian Lillard's age should be, you know, he's 31 years old. He's 31. So I think that you start to look at key. I think Memphis is a good young team on the rise. Steph Curry? Steph's like, what, 34 now?
I believe so, yeah.
So Steph is, he's 33. And how old is Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson's age?
He's 31, yeah.
He's 31. I'm just saying, I think Klay's coming off of injuries. Donovan Mitchell's had injuries. Jamal Murray had injuries. So you've got the factor of key Anthony Davis injury. You got a lot of key players in the West that have been injured. The Suns don't have that issue. They got Dario's injured. And then you've got a lot of players in the West. The Houston super team got broken up. They're no longer a dominant team. And I think you've got a lot of age. You've got a lot of age on key teams in the West. I'm not saying that it's not tough, but I don't think it's as tough as people think it is.
No, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I do think the Suns in the regular season were extremely fortunate with their health. They got very lucky with the injuries in that nobody really got hurt during the regular season, right? Their guys got hurt during the postseason. Šarić, Paul, Payne. We could go on and Booker with his face, right? They had plenty of injuries during the postseason. During the regular season, they were relatively healthy, relatively lucky, while other teams were dealing with injuries all year long. And I don't know if you can count on being that lucky again next year. I don't know if you can count on getting the same luck next year that you did. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but the Suns did not miss a lot of time due to injuries from this past season. And I do worry about that a little bit.
And they don't have the recovery time now that other teams had.
Right.
They don't have the they got the shorter recovery time.
Especially for Devin Booker, who hasn't even started playing in the Olympics. I mean, he's not going to get much rest this offseason at all. So, yeah, the quick turnaround now for those players.
I think it'll hurt. I think it'll play a factor.
I agree with you that the West is not as intimidating. And here's Michael Wilbon on Bickley and Murata yesterday talking about the Suns and how they need to suffer before they can succeed. I'll let him explain.
The one thing I was worried about at 2-0 in the series, in the finals, 2-0 Suns, they hadn't suffered enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the history of the NBA, they're suffering. So Magic didn't suffer because he won as a rookie, and Tim Duncan won in his second year. That's it. That's the list.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, Michael Jordan, 7 years suffering. Remember when he fell on that ball and he held on to it and he sobbed openly?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is LeBron. LeBron took that jersey off walking back into the tunnel when he lost, you know, in his fifth or sixth year. This is not a worst to first sport. It's not like you retool, you get two free agent pitchers, and then you win the next year. Or you sign a quarterback and you get a couple of linemen and you go from worst to – No. No, it's not that. And the Suns hadn't suffered enough.
Well, I don't know if they still not suffered enough. But I fundamentally, I agree with what you're saying. I think I'm always going to worry about the Lakers because they've got two of the five best players in the NBA on their roster.
I get it.
And I'm going to worry about them because they're continually a destination for people to want to go there and play. So I'm always going to worry about the Lakers. The Warriors are starting to get old. And the Jazz... The Jazz are good, but, man, the Jazz seem to have a problem playing their best basketball when it matters the most, and it's happened the last couple of years.
Mike Conley comes back. Mike Conley's going to be 34 years
old
in a couple
too.
Of months.
Yeah.
He's going to be old.
Denver, I'm a little nervous about when Jamal Murray comes back, but I don't know when that's going to be. The Clippers I would be nervous about because they played the Suns so tough, and they have that style that really gets under their skin.
It does.
But, man, Kawhi Leonard could be out for most of the season. I mean,
we don't know how long he's going to be. Yeah.
I think the Suns... Typically in the NBA, when you're good, you can be good for a while. And I think the Suns are going to be good for a while. I just worry about, like I said earlier, the luck they had this past year in the regular season and whether they can duplicate that again next year in the regular season.
Pat Bev's 33, Batum's 32, Paul George 31, Reggie Jackson 31. I just got a lot of like... There's a lot of guys on that roster that I think the age thing is a factor here. How much, I don't know. But I don't think that the West is as tough as people think because of the injuries and the age to these other teams.
If the rumors are true and the SEC will actually add Texas and Oklahoma, how will those falling dominoes impact the rest of the college football world? We'll talk about it coming up, Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Luke is filling in for Sarah today, and he's with us here to update our Twitter poll question on the Burns and Gambo Show.
All right, here we go.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's weird. Usually, Sarah towers over the monitor there, and the way I can't see Luke at all.
They gave me like a chair for kindergartners in here, too.
I can see your eyes peering over that Dell monitor. That's all I can see. So I'm going to assume Luke's in there.
Well, that's also what every lady wants to hear, how they tower over anything.
Sorry, Sarah, if you're listening, but you are kind of tall. And not that Luke's short. hurt or anything. You're in a little chair. Anyway, not for nothing. What is the poll question?
I'm not
today?
Sorry if she's listening. I had to work for her today.
Oh man!
I hope
younger
she's enjoying
generation.
Her vacation. Yeah,
enjoy it, Sarah. Enjoy it.
Today's question is: do you think Campaign will be on the Suns roster next season? Simple, yes or no.
Just have a gut feeling. The answer is no.
I'm going to go with yes.
I would like him to
more
be please,
optimistic please,
no,
today.
No, please don't misinterpret me saying that as I don't want him to be. I just have a gut feeling that some team is going to
overpay him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's what I'm worried about.
You guys are like finishing each other's sentences now.
We've been like professionally married for 10 years. It happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, the.
Oh, my God. I think yesterday was our anniversary. By the way,
what? So, and you didn't get me anything? No flowers?
Well,
no candy?
At least I remembered it. You didn't,
get a nothing bundt cake?
I didn't even get a happy anniversary from you. Nothing.
Damn.
At least I remembered.
10 years nothing of doing the show you. With Bernsie. He doesn't even come in with a card.
Okay, hey. Yeah. You, and next time you want to remember the anniversary, you let me know. You can't remember what you had for breakfast today. You can't remember what you said 10 minutes ago.
The 10-year wedding anniversary gift is diamond jewelry.
Diamond
just FYI.
Jewelry, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get Gambo a diamond stud earring that he can wear in his left ear.
Yeah.
That's going to be my gift to Gambo.
10 years of doing the show together.
I think yesterday was our 10-year anniversary, I think. Anyway, I'm sorry. Luke, what's the results of the poll question?
This is awkward.
It really is.
I know. I was on Bernsie Brothers. Yesterday was our anniversary.
It was. Yesterday was our 10-year anniversary.
I've never seen both people forget the anniversary.
I remembered. Just a day
not
late.
Time.
And a dollar short.
Yes is getting 64% of the will Campaign be back on the Suns roster next season vote?
Yes. I hope he is.
Yes. Let's go with yes.
I have a funny feeling he's not.
I know
he
might not be. All it takes is one team to say, you know what, we missed out on all these guards. We need a starting point guard. That guy's available, and then he kind of holds the cards a little bit.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get somewhere between $7 and $10 million. It's very possible by paying him that he could put you over the luxury tax, and you might have to pay the tax.
All right, this Texas-Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 story, it continues to grow and get bigger. Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports tweeted out a link to one of the stories that he wrote about it, and in the tweet he writes, quote, "Multiple sources have indicated to Yahoo Sports that Oklahoma and Texas are not expected to take part in the Big 12 call this evening."
Yeah, why should they?
"As we reported earlier, it's a call to discuss the future and contingencies should they leave." He also had a tweet that said, "It has become an expectation around college sports with ripples reverberating everywhere that OU and Texas would go to the SEC." So this story, which was first reported yesterday by, not so coincidentally, a Texas A&M beat writer.
I wonder where he got that information
from. Because Texas A&M does not want Texas to join the SEC. Texas A&M likes having the Texas footprint in that conference all to themselves. Thank you very much. And I think, and I'm not, you know, I'm speculating that the leak came from them. But here's why it might make sense, because listen to Chip Brown, Texas reporter for 24/7 Sports on CBS Radio this morning, about Texas state lawmakers getting involved now.
"The last time we saw significant realignment back in 2010 and 2011, you know, you had Baylor threatening legal action against schools that were considering leaving. And so I think you could see that again. I mean, the state legislature in Texas is full of Texas Tech and Baylor lawmakers who have influence, and they'll work actively to try to change minds here. And this thing could go in 100 different directions between now and 2025 when the Big 12 media rights agreement is up."
So the lawmakers in Texas might say no, or Baylor might sue, or schools might sue, or lawmakers might work to prevent Texas and Oklahoma from leaving.
But can they?
Can
they?
The way Chip made it sound like it was somewhat successful the last time around, when there was concerns the Big 12 was going to get picked apart by the Pac-12 and others, and that's when they all stepped in. And I do think that if the leak came from Texas A&M. That was probably the purpose of it, right? Was to alert everybody what was going on.
Give everybody a heads up on
to give them a chance
sure
to stop it.
Have a chance to stop it.
I don't know if they can or not.
Well,
I don't
it's
know
not
the
like Texas is a private institution. They're a public university. So a lot of their funds are tied to the state of Texas and have to go through Board of Regents or whatever their situation is in that state. So a lot of their funds are tied to state legislator
Look,
and lawmakers.
To Gambo's point, this is all way beyond my pay grade. I don't know how much power the lawmakers have to be able to keep them from doing it, how many the other schools and legal action has to keep them from doing it. All I'm thinking about is a world that if Texas and Oklahoma do leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC, let's say it happens.
I think it would suck. I really do. I think it would just suck. I'm like, the SEC, come like, man, they're good enough already.
Yeah.
Like, they're good, and you're going to add Oklahoma. Now, Texas doesn't win anything ever anyway, but still, Oklahoma and Texas are your two big brands. You're going to go to the SEC. It's like, man, like, at some point, like, is anybody else going to be able to compete? Is anybody else going to be able to compete with? It's hard enough to compete with the SEC.
Yeah.
Now they bring Texas and Oklahoma in. That opens up a little bit more of a recruiting bed for them. With two Texas schools there and Oklahoma. I don't know. I'm not in favor of it. I mean, it's just we're taking parity completely out of it. I mean, the SEC's one-sided anyway right now with Alabama's pure dominance in this in college football. I mean, the Big 12 gets weakened. I mean, maybe it'll be good. Right now, I doubt it. I kind of like things the way they are, but this is money, man. This is all greed. All greed. Why go to the SEC? They pay more. Why do you want to leave the big? It's like $6, $7 million more a year now, and it's only going to go up when they get their new TV deal in 2 years, the SEC.
Right.
This is greed. This is all about money. That's all it is. It's just it's a money grab.
Of course. I'm not a huge fan of it either, but I do kind of think it's and this was what we talked about 10 years ago when this was on the table, that it kind of looks like what the future of the sport might look like, right? We're all expecting the playoffs are going to change sometime over the next few years, and they're going to go to a 12-team model. And I've always wondered when the playoffs expand, do eventually we have basically four power conferences? You know, we have four conferences with 16 teams each, 20 teams each, whatever the case may be. And those teams are the ones that compete for those playoff spots every single year if there's going to be 12 of them. I don't know, but I suspect that if those two teams leave, then I would think the other conferences would look to gobble up at least part of what's left. If the Pac-12's smart, that's what they'll do.
I would.
They'll
I
aggressively would go after the schools, they in particular the Texas schools, the TCUs, the Techs, the Baylor, try to expand
but
your
not,
footprint in Texas.
But they're not on a level of Texas and Oklahoma.
Oh, of course not. No, no.
And that's the thing. The rich get richer. You know, you're getting, you know, the second choice, the third choice. I think it would be the demise of the Big 12. I think the Big 12 would eventually go away.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would probably just raid whatever other teams they want, and some teams would be left out with nowhere to go.
I would think so, too. I would think that would be a possibility. You can text us your thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma and maybe a big shakeup to college football as we know it. Text the FanDuel text line, 620-620 right now. Text us your thoughts on it, and if they're good enough, we might read them on the air. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Busy day for the Coyotes, busy offseason for the Coyotes and their general manager. What's been the thinking behind some of the moves they've made? We'll talk with Bill Armstrong. He'll join us next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Burns and Gambo live from the Auction Community Studios here on this Thursday afternoon. The Coyotes, been a busy day, a lot of news coming out of the organization, including on the ice, in a story broken by Gambo earlier this morning. The Coyotes have acquired 28-year-old defenseman Shane Gostisbehere. And joining us right now on the Burns and Gambo show, the GM of the Coyotes, Bill Armstrong, to talk about the player acquired and all the busy offseason moves they've made. Bill, welcome back to the show. Hope you're well. Thanks for coming on.
Well, Dave and Gambo, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. All right, obviously I want to talk about the draft picks in a second, but just let's talk with the player in Gostisbehere. 28 years old. He had an unbelievable rookie season. He was second in rookie of the year back in 2015-16. He's kind of been up and down, had the knee injury, did bounce back from the knee surgery, but he's a guy that showed some signs last year of being his old self. He's got some speed through the neutral zone. He's good on the power play. He's an offensive defenseman. How do you think he could fit in?
Oh, he's going to be great for us. I mean, one of his natural things for him is just coming out of his own zone, moving a puck. I think that's something that we haven't had last year, and we can add into the mix this year, is he's got a great ability just to make that first pass and find the second option with the puck. And if you're a forward, you're going to love this guy because he's going to move the puck right up. And I think the other thing that you love about him is the power play. He's just got a natural feel from the point. He's very, very good at getting the pucks through the net and finding ways to score from the point. But also, he's got some vision back there. So he's exciting for us. He gives us something that we don't have. And we were able to acquire a few picks with him. So it was a great day for us in that regard.
Yeah, and that's I'm going to steal Gambo's question about the picks, because I think in a way I'm just as curious about that as I am about the player. It appears you now have, what, 7 second-round picks over the next couple of years? From a flexibility standpoint, how much power does that give you to move around the board when this thing commences this weekend, Bill?
Well, it's a great opportunity for number one for our scouting staff starting tomorrow and getting into place and see what we can do and acquire some prospects. The more picks you have, I feel, especially in the second round, you can make some hay. You can be really aggressive. So, and as far as the next year's picks, it's great. It's money in the bank, and it's something that we haven't had in the organization. So it gives us a little bit more power. And if we want to go after a player, to trade some picks to get a player, it gives us that ability.
I don't want to knock your predecessor, who just did an awful job, by the way. But acquiring
Want to knock your predecessor.
I don't want to knock your predecessor,
an awful job.
Who just sucked so bad at his job, he left you with the cupboards bare. I don't want to knock him, but the cupboards were bare. You needed to get these assets. Now, you know this, and I know this. This isn't the NFL, okay? Second-round picks in hockey are a lot different. It's a lot harder for a second-round pick to even make an NHL roster as well as being an impact player. But the more you have of them, it's like a swing of the bat. The more swings you get to take. How important was it getting all of these assets? And I think you've done a masterful job of it. How important was it to you to acquire these assets?
Oh, it was huge for the organization. Listen, the cupboards were left bare. I'm not going to bury him, but I'm the guy before me. But he didn't help us. That's for sure. And the fines that we lost, for the first pick overall, or our first pick this year, and the second rounder last year. It's just he left us in a big crevice. And we were able to trade Stepan for a second. We traded Hill for another second. We got two picks from the Islanders that sent our way to ship a player here, and another second with Gostisbehere. So we've tried to use what we have to move forward and help this franchise. And the other thing we've done is hired really good scouts. So now they've got to go work their magic and then create some prospects through what we've done. And we knew there was an advantage with the flat cap. It's not moving up because of the pandemic. That the one advantage that we did have is that we have cap space. And teams are dying for cap space. So we knew if we worked it properly and we stuck to our guns, we'd be able to generate some picks through it. So I think we're pretty much the only team that's been able to kind of do it this offseason so far. So it's been a nice little feather in our cap.
Listen, I'm an Islander fan, so I know Andrew Ladd very, very well. But do you think he does bring some leap? He hasn't played a whole lot in these last few years. Do you think there's a way, if he's healthy, that he might be able to help you?
Well, I think there is. He's pretty driven to play this year, and he's training hard. But more importantly, he also brings us some great leadership into our dressing room, and I think that's. That's where he's going to have his greatest impact, is mentoring some of the young guys and having that impact of helping change our culture.
One of the things I look at in losing Pitt, like, is just losing size. This team is this team's small. Toughness is a question for me. It's a small team that lacks some toughness. Where do you think you'll address those needs?
Well, it's interesting. It's like the fighters now are like unicorns. They're tough to find in the world. So it's like these guys are so valuable because there's not much of it. But when you still need somebody to go out there and protect your players. So they're getting harder to find. But you're exactly right. We have to add size. We got to add some toughness to our lineup, and that slowly but surely we've got some plans to do that. With having these picks, it certainly gives us a chance to go out and acquire the players that we need to fix you know, our weakness and add some identity to our team.
Well, good luck this weekend, Bill. We appreciate the time. Thanks for swinging by for a few minutes, and I'm sure we will talk to you in the very near future. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Dave and Gamble. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Armstrong joining us in the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit CoulterInfinity.com. That is not the only part about the Coyotes making news today. Story that I first saw on AZ Central, and I know you did some background reporting on it as well, has the Coyotes in the city of Tempe talking about a plot of land near the dry riverbed, the dry Salt Lake riverbed, right around Priest. 48 acres, as you're reporting from what you've been able to find out, where a potentially privately funded arena could be built if Tempe is able to come up with the land.
Yeah, I think that it's 48 acres. It would be an entertainment destination. It's contaminated land, so might be worth it for the city to move it on to somebody that could do something with it. It does show you that the owner is committed to being here. Alex Morello, he did buy a house here. His family, apparently, they're buying houses here. So it would take Tempe to issue some bonds. But the city apparently doesn't have to pay for the bonds. My understanding is that the Coyotes would pay for that. So there could be a special district put in place to get that done. But it's probably about a $2 billion project. The arena itself would probably be about $700 to $750 million, all privately financed, is my understanding. And they would build, what would it be? Probably office space, hotels, just a destination for people to go to on 48 acres.
Probably a sports book when it's all said and done.
Probably
now that's legal here
book.
In the Valley.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And it'd be a great location. Basically in the middle of everything. I mean, you're talking about right there by the airport, right there by ASU. It'd be a really good spot. The private funding part is the part that certainly caught my attention. The story I read suggested that the cleanup of the site would cost Tempe about $70 million, but that over the course of the next 30 years, they could generate four times that in terms of revenue over 30 years. It sounds great, as with all things Coyotes Arena. It's one of those, until there's an actual shovel in the ground and things being built, it's hard to get that excited about it until we get to that point.
I was just sent a statement from the Coyotes on this. I'm going to read it to you. I was just sent this statement. Based on the site's location, the Coyotes are highly interested in this development opportunity and will be responding to the city of Tempe's request for proposal. Given our determination to remain in the Valley for many years to come, we are actively working to identify the best long-term home for the Coyotes, our devoted fans, and this great community. That is a statement from the Coyotes that I just received, and I wanted to read that there.
All right. If he wants, Chris Paul could become a free agent in just a couple of weeks. Does he want that? And if he does, what does his class look like if Chris Paul should leave? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.